Call ahava. She tsluya bedover, batel dover, betela ahava. If you have a love that's based upon something, so when that something is batel, so the love is batel. Ushaina tsluya bedover, but when you have a love that's not built on something specific, so then it's ena betela liolam. Ezui ava tsluya bedover. What's an example of an ava which tsluya bedover? This is the ahava that Amnon had for Tamar. And what is an example of an ahava she'ena tzluya b'davar? This is the ahava between David and Yehonasan. So, what does this mean? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, when you have two people who come together and their ahava is dependent on something, and Rashi here writes that Amnon and Tamar, Amnon was only interested in one thing from Tamar, and that was Niyuf. That was what he was interested in. He wasn't really interested in any deeper relationship than that. It was all about Niyuf. And therefore, as soon as he achieved what he wanted, then all of his interest, all of his desire was gone for her, because there was nothing real to the relationship. As opposed to the ava between David and Yehonasan, there, the ava was some deeper relationship, and therefore it was had kiyum to it. In the Yochin, he has some very nice ha'aris about this Mishnah. Rabbeinu Yonah basically just tells us, I think, the basic pshat. He says, when you're coming together to be mechabed zeh zeh, sorry, leskabed zeh mipnei zeh, where one wants to get its kavod through the other one, as opposed to when people come together, l'shem shamayim. That's going to be the difference. He said, Amnon ended up hating Tamar with a tremendous hatred because his connection to her, his interest in her, was self-serving. It wasn't l'shem shamayim. As opposed to David and Yehonasan. In the Yachin, he says, very interesting, what does it mean in Ava, which is tluya bedover, as opposed to enet tluya bedover? He says that enet tluya bedover means that it's b'teva. Says, for instance, a man who loves his family, loves his child. And how do you know if your ava is tluya bedover? So he writes, very interestingly, if you ask the person, why do you love this person? He's not able to verbalize a good answer. If you asked Amnon, why do you like Tamar? He would have told you because he was attracted to her and he wanted to be with her. But if you ask a parent, why do you love your child? So the parent just says, I don't know, he's my child. What do you mean, why do I love him? He's not going to say, oh, because he's great at football. If the parent loves the child because he's great at football, so then if the child is no longer good at football, so then the parent's not going to love him anymore. But that's not how a parent's love for a child. That's not the nature of a parent's love for a child. Therefore, he says, that's how you define an ava tzluya b'davar as opposed to an ava she'ena tzluya b'davar. And he says about Amnon and Tamar, such an interesting ha'ara. When a man is interested in a woman for niyuf purposes, he doesn't really love the woman. And that's what he writes here. Lois Tamar Ahav, he didn't love Tamar, he loved himself. And he was hoping to get Hana for himself through Tamar. And as soon as he got that Hana, then he dropped Tamar. Because it wasn't ever about Tamar. It was always only about Amnon. Interestingly, he says, why don't they bring as the example a father and a son as the example of an ava, which is Ein Tzluya B'Davar? So he says, the reason why they don't bring that is because that also is an element of a father loving a child that's really an avas atzmo, because the child is an extension of the father. The parent loves the child, but part of that is because the parent loves himself, and the child is part of the parent. It's an extension of the parent. David and Yonasan are an amazing example. Because, as you know, David HaMelech was the one who was going to be taking over for Yonasan's father, for Shaul. And yet, despite the fact that David's ascendancy to the throne meant that Yonasan was not going to become king, so this was the most L'shem Shemayim relationship that there can be. Because not only was Yonasan not going to benefit from it, it was actually to his detriment, David's existence. And yet they were tremendous friends, as we read about in the Nevi'im. And this is an example of an Ava, which is not based on self-interest, but it's based on a deeper teva connection. And then the Yochin says something that is really interesting, I think. He says, and he quotes a German word here that I'm not familiar with, and he says that sometimes you have two people and they don't really know each other, and then they meet each other, and immediately when they see each other, they're best friends and they love each other without any good reason. And he writes, there's hidden reasons for why this happens. So I don't know what he means by that. I don't know if he means that there's some deeper Kabbalistic connection between these two souls. I don't know exactly what he means. And I'm sure we can all relate to this. He says, sometimes you have a person, you just meet them and right away you like them. And right away there's a connection. Right away there's a bond. And it's not because of any, it's not tluya bedover, but it's something that just strikes right away at the core. There's some teva relationship between the two of you. Okay, maybe we'll go on to one more Mishnah here. Kol machlok eshil shem shamayim sofa l'skayim. U'she'enu l'shem shamayim ein sofa l'skayim. Any relationship, any machlokas, excuse me, any argument which is l'shem shamayim will end up having kiyum. And if it's not l'shem shamayim, it won't end up having kiyum. What does that mean, having kiyum as opposed to not having kiyum? So if you look in the Bartanura, in the back of your Mishnayos, so Bartanura gives two pshatim. Pshat number one, it means that the people will have, I think this is the second pshat. The first pshat, I think he says, is that the issue that they're arguing about will have kiyum. Meaning, they're arguing not, and some of the Rishonim, Mefarshim here point this out, which I think is very good for yeshiva guys. I think it's the Bartanura points it out, that a machlokus which is not l'shem shamayim is a machlokus that you're in it for the win. Right? It's all about the win. It's all about the V. That's a machlokas l'shem shamayim. So you're arguing with your chavrusa, not because you want the truth, but because you want to win. So then that's not sofo l'kiyum, l'skayim. What does that mean, l'skayim? It means the MS. You're not going to really get to the MS. You're not going to really bring the Torah that you learned to a place where you remember, where it's a part of you, that you get to the truth. But as opposed to a machlokas, which is l'shem shamayim, two chavrusas are arguing, and they don't care who's right. They just want to get, you know, one chavrusa says, oh, that's what I said. And the other one says, no, that's what I said. And he says, no, it doesn't matter. We got the right pshat. That's the ikker. Then it's the sofal is kind. They're going to get to the truth, and they're going to internalize it. It's going to become a part of them. Because that's ultimately what we're trying to do. As a machlokas, as opposed to a machlokas, which is ain't l'shem shamayim, so ain't sofal is kind. You're never going to get to the truth. That's the first pshat in the Bartanur. The second pshat he brings is that it means the people are going to be miskayim. The people are going to survive. And the examples that are brought here, what's a machlokas, which is l'shem shamayim? Hillel and Shammai. Hillel and Shammai were fighting for the truth. In the Yochin, he says, we don't say Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, because it's hard to say that every member of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel was doing it l'shem shamayim. Every single one. But on Shammai and Hillel, for sure, we can be meyed. You know, the Mishnah can be meyed that they did it l'shem shamayim. So if they were arguing l'shem shamayim, that's sofa l'skayim. It means that they're going to have kiyum, one pshat. The issues that they're addressing are going to have kiyum. And what's an example of a machlokas she'enu l'shem shamayim? That's the machlokas Korach v'chol adoso. Korach was not fighting in order to get to some truth. It was personal. It was in order to get to push himself forward, to get greater kavod. And that's sofa that's not l'skayim. Again, here, we see the people are not miskayim. They get swallowed up by the earth because they're not engaged in a machlokas. It's okay to be, it's not okay to be confrontation, but it's okay to get into confrontations and to get into arguments and debates as long as the overarching goal is to get to the truth. I will just make a ha'ara. I think some of the mefarshim address this. When it gives the example of a machlokas, which was the Shem Shamayim, it says Hillel and Shammai. Hillel and Shammai are the two sides. It's Hillel versus Shammai. When it talks about the machlokas, which is not l'shem shamayim, it says Korach v'chol adasa. It should really say Korach and Moshe, or Korach v'chol adasa v'Moshe. So some of Farshim tried to explain that there was an inner machlokas between Korach and his Edo, and because they argued amongst themselves shlo l'shem shamayim, so ultimately their cause that they were arguing for ended up falling by the wayside, and they were not successful. Meaning, if they would have had inner debates amongst themselves about the proper approach because they were l'shem shamayim, maybe they would have had a chance of success. but because they were arguing amongst themselves, shelo l'shem shamayim, or because they're machlokas with Moshe Rabbeinu, shelo l'shem shamayim, so therefore they failed. The other reason I would maybe say Moshe's left out is because Moshe wasn't arguing. You know, it takes two people to argue. My mother always taught me that. It takes two people to fight. If one person refuses to fight, there's no machlokas. Right? If one side just says, okay, fine, it's okay, I'll let it go, there's no machlokas. Okay, remember that when you're older and your children are getting married and you start discussing with the future machatanim about things about the wedding, as much as you can, be mevater, because you can't get into a fight if only one person is willing to fight. If the other person's not willing to fight, you can't have a fight. So I don't know, maybe it says Korach Kol Hadassah, and it doesn't say Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to fight. He wasn't interested in fighting. Although Moshe Rabbeinu does stand up, because he has to defend, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to defend the Torah. But he wasn't interested in a fight, as opposed to Korach, who was interested in a fight.